You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my webpage at dr-history.com for over 440 true stories of the Old West. Also, now available on Amazon, my first book, a historical fiction based on true events entitled Coal Miner to Cowboy. The story of a young man born in England in 1850. He wants to be a cowboy and makes his way to America, travels from New Orleans to Independence on a steamboat, hires on as a teamster to Santa Fe, then on a cattle drive to Bozeman, Montana. He also rides shotgun on a stagecoach. He travels with a wagon train, and on his two-year journey, he meets some famous people and keeps a journal of his adventures. The book contains a lot of the true stories from my podcast and is now available on Amazon. Visit my webpage for a link to Amazon for the book, Coal Miner to Cowboy.
Right now, here is Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb. How are you today?
I am peachy wonderful, and you're on the phone, and I don't like it, but that's okay.
Okay. As long as you can hear me okay, we're all right.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So, have you ever heard of a man named Ezra Meeker?
You know, I have. I have, but I don't know why.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you his story. So Ezra Meeker was born December 29, 1830, in a log cabin on the family farm near Huntsville, Ohio. Now, on May 13, 1851, Ezra Meeker married his neighbor, Eliza Jane, and he split 300 rails for the minister instead of paying him his fee.
Mm.
So he really wanted to get married, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
But they had six kids. And Meeker claimed that he never had a sick day during his entire 58-year marriage. Says he was never sick. So young Ezra and Eliza, his wife, spent a really cold winter, 1851-1852, on a rented farm near Eddyville, Iowa. I have no idea where that is. And that was in the April of 1852. They loaded a covered wagon and joined the more than 50,000 people that made up the 1852 immigration to Oregon Territory.
Mm-hmm.
And Eliza, his wife, gave birth to a son just 7 weeks before they left. So here they are with these kids and her with a newborn baby heading out to Oregon.
Wow.
Now, Meeker attributed his successful trip to his wife's excellent planning and cooking skills. And here's what he said. He said, Eliza had prepared the homemade yeast cake, which she knew so well how to make and dry, and we had light bread to eat all the way across. We baked the bread in a tin reflector instead of the heavy Dutch oven so much in use on the plains.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't know much about this tin reflector way of cooking. I just thought everybody used Dutch ovens. And then he also said we had buttermilk all the way across, which was a real luxury because they could make all kinds of things with buttermilk, because he said, unlike a lot of the immigrants, they had a cow that gave milk the entire journey all the way to Oregon.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, a lot of the cows, they dried up on the way over, and of course some cows died, and some, if the oxen died, they might hurt the cow up to the with the other oxen. So anyway, despite a lot of the provisions, by the time they reached Portland, 5 months later, Eliza was sick and Ezra had lost 20 pounds. And Ezra had a brother named Oliver, and he got sick, had cholera, which killed a lot of people, you know, on the Oregon Trail.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real killer. But his brother survived. Anyway, Oliver, the brother, and Ezra ran a boarding house in a place called St. Helens. I don't know if that sounds familiar over there in Oregon.
Yeah, I've been to St. Helens. I've been to St. Helens. As a matter of fact, years and years ago, I announced their rodeo when it was professional.
So it's a fairly good-sized place now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he worked there as a logger and a longshoreman on the Columbia, and then he filed a homestead claim. They built a cabin, and in the spring of 1853, the Meeker brothers explored the coastline from Olympia to Port Townsend, which that's up there by Seattle, right? Townsend?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And that they settled on an island called McNeil Island. So Joseph Meeker, their father, encouraged Oliver, the brother, and Ezra and Eliza to leave the island and settle on the mainland. And so Meeker moved his young family to a place southeast of Tacoma. It's a place called the Swamp Place, which got to tell you a little bit about what it was like. But during the Yakima Indian War of 1855, they also moved to a place called Delacombe. And I think that must be a pretty small place, I guess.
I don't know that place at all.
No. So Ezra, his brother Oliver, and another brother Jacob built a blockhouse and opened a general store called J.R. Meeker & Sons. And after gold was discovered on the Fraser River in Canada in 1858, they opened a branch, and they made a good profit by selling provisions to all the hopeful miners. Well, in 1861, Oliver traveled by ship to San Francisco. Now, this is Ezra's brother.
You're right.
He traveled to San Francisco with all their savings to buy stock for their stores. On the return trip, his ship, the Northerner, banked off the coast of California. Poor Oliver drowned, and all the goods he bought were lost. So that left the Meeker brothers with, you know, sad and with no money. So the farm also was a failure because the soil proved to be too poor for farming. So here they were, no money, no crops, so not in a very good situation. Now, in 1862, Ezra and Eliza moved with their four children to the, and you got to help me with this, the Puyallup Valley. Does that sound right?
I'm having a hard time with your phone this morning, and I didn't hear, say the pronunciation of the valley again.
It's called Puyallup, P-U-Y-A-L-L-U.
Puyallup, Puyallup.
Puyallup.
Right.
Okay, the Puyallup Valley. So they took over a small cabin that had been abandoned. In 1865, Meeker and his father planted hops from some shoots they'd gotten, and they grew really well. And so in the, how'd you say that?
Puyallup.
Valley.
There you go.
Was ideal for cultivating hops and vines, and the hops, of course, dried, and they're used to flavor beer.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
So they had a really successful business, and he actually was so successful, he established a branch office in London to sell hops on the world market.
Oh, my.
And from 1884 to 1887, the Meekers actually spent 4 months a year in London. And in 1885, Eliza, his wife, was actually presented at court to Queen Victoria.
Oh, my.
So they were, you know, well-known and doing very well. Well, that came to an end in 1892. A plague of what they call hop lice struck the Pacific coast. Well, it ruined the crops, and he sold his crop for just a fraction of the price. And he later wrote, quote, "All my accumulations were swept away, and I quit the business, or rather the business quit me."
Mm.
So anyway, he ran a mercantile business. I'm going to move along here because I want to get to the most important part. He actually wrote a pamphlet called The Washington Territory West of the Cascades. And he had different flower varieties that he traveled to San Francisco to show. Let me get to the best part, because I know we're running out of time here. He actually, by the way, went to Alaska, opened up a store in Dawson, filed a mining claim,
mm-hmm.
and despite all that, he didn't make any money. So in 1906, at the age of 76, Ezra Meeker began retracing his 1852 Oregon Trail journey, this time heading east. Now, his aim was to identify the trail's exact route, which had kind of become obscured over passage of time.
Right.
And he wanted to place historical markers along the route. And as we mentioned, you know, during the 1870s, there was thousands and thousands of people that went across there from 1840 to 1870. So during those years, more than 500,000 people went to Oregon City, Oregon. Now, by now he's 76 years old. Ezra Meeker and his prairie schooner were front page news. He had photographs taken, and a lot of them were printed on postcards, and he sold to fund his travels. So here he is, 76 years old, and he's going the opposite direction on the Oregon Trail with a covered wagon and oxen. Are you still there, Sam?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm fascinated to think that he was basically kind of a wrong-way Corrigan. We did have a beep that there was a call waiting on the line, and I'm going to try to take that call. Caller, I'm only going to give you about 15 seconds because we're running late. If you're still there, go ahead quickly with your comment.
My comment was that we shouldn't repeat history. Today's an election day. Get our behinds out there and vote.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Absolutely. And it really, it must have been kind of interesting and disconcerting to some going on the Oregon Trail, going to Oregon, to see a guy coming back saying, "I'm headed east."
Right. Yeah. So this was in 1906, though. So pretty much the traffic headed west was done. But in 1906, he continued not just to Independence, but he continued on to the East Coast. His oxen and wagon actually stopped traffic on when he crossed the Brooklyn Bridge. He made his way through Lower Manhattan toward the New York Stock Exchange. And in Washington, D.C., he parked his outfit in front of the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, my.
And he stood there and talked with President Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, my.
Now, he had... Yeah, so he had a lot of newspaper coverage, and he wanted to keep the Oregon Trail in the public eye because it was an important historical event. Now, his first trip took 2.5 years, but he made 4 official trail-promoting trips. The first one lasted from January 1906 to June of 1908, so 2.5 years it took him.
Wow.
The return trip, they put him on a train, and he went back to Oregon. Well, he made a second trip in 1910 to 1912, and that took 2.5 years. And over the course of his two wagon journeys, Meeker placed 150 markers along the trail. And a lot of times he found local subscribers, you know, historical societies that helped him out along the way. Well, he made his third trip in May of 1916 to September 1916, but this time it only took him 4 months because this time going east to west, he had a thing, a touring car called the Pathfinder that had a wagon-like canvas on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So can you picture this, a car in 1916 that had a covered wagon top on it?
Oh, my.
And he used this third trip primarily to lecture on the need for and the military value of a national highway. He actually met with President Woodrow Wilson and talked about the importance of having a national highway like we do today, you know, the interstate freeway system.
Mm-hmm.
But in October of 1924, he flew over a part of the Oregon Trail in a single-engine airplane. You know, when he was riding across, he only made like 2 miles an hour, but now he's in an airplane right going 100 miles an hour. But in 1925 and 1926, Meeker appeared with the C.J. Miller Wild West shows. Have you ever heard of that Wild West shows?
Not that one in particular. No, I have not.
Yeah. Well, he was demonstrating the proper way to drive an ox team, and C.J. Miller was the largest Wild West show at that time. And Meeker was described as, quote, the only living person who crossed the Oregon Trail as an adult and who, at the age of 95, crossed the continent again in an airplane. So here he is, 95 years old. Well, in April of 1926, Meeker was then staying in New York, and he founded and became president of the Oregon Trail Memorial Association. He once again went to Washington, D.C. to lobby Congress to create a special Oregon Trail coin. Now, the coin was a 50-cent piece that is sold for a dollar, with the profit going toward paying for more trail monuments.
Hmm.
And they actually passed that, and I guess there's some of those coins out there. They'd probably be pretty rare, but I suppose those coins are out there in collectors for collectors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the summer of 1928, Meeker got sick while visiting Henry Ford in Detroit, and Ford had made Meeker a special vehicle he called the Oxmobile. And this was an automobile chassis fitted with a covered wagon top.
Oh, my.
And Meeker had been planning yet another trail journey, but he spent several months in the Ford hospital and then was loaded onto a Pullman car for a 3-day trip home by rail. Ezra Meeker died on December 3rd, 1928, in Seattle. He was 27 days shy of his 98th birthday.
Wow.
So that's kind of the story of Ezra Meeker. And, you know, he actually back then had become a household name throughout the whole country during his final 20 years of his life because he was kind of, he's called a self-appointed spokesman for the men and the women who walked that Oregon Trail and for the dead that are buried along that whole trail. That, you know, I understand there are people out there, certain organizations that are searching for buried, you know, people that were buried with no markers.
Right.
So they're trying to find some of those bodies, those bones. And I suppose with DNA, the way it is now, they could probably trace some of those, the remains to people that are alive today.
I'll tell you what,
Ezra was, he was finally buried beside his wife in Puyallup Woodbine Cemetery. And in 1939, the Oregon Trail Memorial Association erected a marker engraved with a covered wagon drawn by two oxen there at their gravesite.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's the story of Ezra Meeker.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is one that I have not heard before. That is one that I've really enjoyed. And for your help next week and education on our class, we're going to say Piala, Piala, Piala.
Well, you know my pronunciations have not always been exactly, especially when it comes to speaking Spanish or French or whatever.
Hey, I got a question for you real quick, a short answer on this about Meeker. Did he and his travails come right through this area of Burley, Magic Valley, Twin Falls, etc.?
Yes, he did, because he was right along the Oregon Trail, which, you know, right along here, the Oregon Trail was on the south side of the river.
Right.
Over by Milner and out towards Raft River, over to Fort Hall, over to Fort Bridger and on, you know, through Wyoming and all the way to Independence. Like I said in the story, he didn't stop at Independence, which is where the Oregon Trail began. He continued all the way over to the East Coast.
My goodness.
So, yeah,
I wonder,
he went right across here.
I wonder if there's any memorabilia, any old photographs or anything of him in this respective area that are in our local museums.
You know, that's a great question. I think I'm going to check that out maybe at our local Burley Cache County Museum and see if there might be some newspaper articles or something, because he did get a lot of press coverage when he was doing that.
Dr. History, you did it again. Great job. Next week, we'll see you right here in the studio, and I want to thank you for a job well done. Thank you, my dear friend.
You have a good day, Zeb.
All right, buddy.